Welcome to Metacall episode 199. I'm Corey and here's Daryl.
Yo.
Yo, we've got just like a smorgasbord of topics today. You know, it's a wild world of modern, pioneer, historic. It's a wild world of magic in general. And to be honest with you, I have been consuming it in very unusual ways for myself because I am almost always just specifically a modern player. And lately I have been nothing but. So as far as that format is concerned, it's going to be kind of like a little bit of a reacquaintance episode for me. I don't know about you, Daryl.
I mean, I have been related to Magic not pretty much at all in the past couple of months, just getting everything settled in my household. So,
oh yes,
I got bored and I was watching Legacy. And I saw a sweet deck, and I was like, man, maybe I could play that Legacy deck in Modern.
Yeah, and you sent me a screenshot of it, and that made me think, oh, that looks nice. So there's nothing wrong with Modern. I think Modern's in a good place, but just with the state of Magic as it is right now, I've been more interested in exploring some other formats and definitely been playing some cards. But
I have not been the card player. Modern. I might try some more cards with this deck that I built.
Yeah, so we'll talk about Daryl's deck, do a little bit of brewing on that deck on this podcast, but I also want to talk about the historic format, and I'm going to try my damnedest to convince Daryl to give it a shot. I know Daryl doesn't have Arena, and he never has. However, I think the more and more I talk about it, the more and more he considers installing the client and grinding it out one day.
I actually once installed the client and gave it a spin. It is a pretty nice client.
Yeah.
I did not have the money to not have to grind, and I did not have the time to grind. Therefore, I did not have anything to want to do with Arena.
Yes, I understand that.
And I'm still in that position. So as much as it pains me to not be able to participate in the fun, I am still not going to play Arena for a while. But I will concede to you that Historic might be pretty sweet. I just have no experience with it at all.
Well, you're providing me with a really good segue right here because that gets to one of the things I want to talk about. But before we do... ManaTraders.com, our sponsor, is graciously bringing you this podcast. And you can use the promo code MODERNMEDICALL, all one word, for 14% off at checkout. This is something, and related to the topic that I wanted to segue into, you cannot use ManaTraders.com for MTG Arena, unfortunately. Because the beauty of playing something like Modo, even though it makes you feel like you're running like a Windows 95, is that you have the opportunity to, you know, just like go and access a deck to like brew and experiment and like test things out. Maybe you see something cool and you're like, oh, I want to try that. You don't really have that luxury in Arena because even if you are willing to just like shell out for the deck, it's not like you really can do that because you don't get to just like exchange currency for the card you want for it. If you were to say, you know, invest in the cards, you're really just investing in packs and then opening up packs, hoping to find the cards or enough wild cards to cash in for it. So I don't do that. I play for free on Arena. And eventually, you know, it takes about 3 weeks to acquire the right amount of wild cards for a deck. And once I do that, I have to make sure that the deck that I'm going to cash my wild cards in on is the deck that I will want to be playing. Because once I do it, it's going to take another 3 weeks before I can, you know, acquire a new deck.
Locked in, Chief.
Yeah. And so the problem with that, I think, is this. It's like there's all these really cool cards that they've been just constantly pumping into Historic, constantly pumping into Standard lately, constantly pumping into Brawl. And I want to try them. I want to play these formats. And I want to be like, you know, it seems like these valueless wild cards are easy to just kind of turn into these cards to play, but they're not valueless at all because they're so sparse. They're so rare that if I do that, I'm really locking myself out of, you know, this Historic deck or this Standard deck that I'm going to need to access down the line. So I don't have the opportunity to say, like, try to brew up this cool, like, Historic version of Value Town, which is almost present in the format, aside from Tireless Tracker, probably the most important piece of the deck. But I've definitely thought about trying to make Historic Value Town a thing, because we now have Collected Company, Ramanop Excavator, Azusa, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Fabled Passage. So,
yeah.
Anyways, my point being, I worry that maybe it will cause some of the latter experiences to be more ubiquitous for, like lots of people playing the proven decks because of the fact that why invest in the decks that are not proven when you can make sure that your wild cards count? But it also means that, like, I don't think people are going to be exploring and experimenting with cards that are, you know, like kind of fringe playable or maybe undiscovered because it's like the cost to do so is just so steep. So yeah. What I've been doing, and I released the first one today, is I'm posting field guides. So a field guide of Historic basically outlines all of the cards that I would consider like strongly playable or have proven to be playable in the format for each color. And so the first one, part one, just contains blue, black, and white cards in the format. And I've grouped them up by like different categories, like counter spells, removal, mill, cards that pertain to certain deck archetypes, etc., etc. Basically just to like kind of categorize and organize the thoughts on like which cards actually exist. Because with all of these sets coming out over the course of the summer, like we've had Throne of Eldraine not too long ago. We've had Jumpstart infusing a ton of new cards into the format. We had a Historic Anthology, and now Amonkhet Remastered is... Are you familiar with that set, Daryl?
No.
Amonkhet Remastered is basically WotC's way of putting the Amonkhet cards back into Arena, but they're not releasing all three Amonkhet sets. They're releasing the entire block as one single set where they're just putting the best of the best in it. Plus then picking and choosing a few extra cards to add to the mix. So love like it. Rest in Peace, Wrath of God, Collected Company, Thoughtseize have been infused into this set with love new it. Art.
That sounds great.
It's really cool. And it's a really fun draft environment. There's some really neat stuff happening in it. But it's also a way where it's kind of like yet another anthology because we've got cards like Wrath of God and Rest in Peace being pumped into Historic.
Nice.
And so it's been rapid fire. Like the metagame has not settled because every 3 weeks it's like there's a new thing being added, a whole new set of like hundreds of cards being added to Historic.
Yeah.
So here we are. Collected Company, I think, is a big deal for this format.
Well,
I
mean, Corey is in. Welcome. Corey is all in on Historic.
I love it.
Collected Company now available. Yeah.
I mean, the thing is this. It's like I love playing Modern on Modo. I like playing Commander on Modo even, but the experience of doing that in like just navigating the client and losing games because of like misclicking or problems with the client, it's just so frustrating. It's so tedious and it's so miserable that it almost like makes it like if I'm deciding what I'm going to do with a half an hour between the two, I know that I can't complete a game of anything on Modo in that amount of time, right?
Sure.
So I'm going to go to the streamlined one, the one that works pretty well. And I'm going to complete a game of Historic or Brawl or whatever it may be.
Makes sense.
So thank God for Historic because I absolutely detest Standard.
Fair. Yeah,
here you have it. So my pitch is this, Daryl. So I wanted to talk about this today. I want to just go through this format and just highlight some of the ways that this format is different than other formats. Because we have Pioneer, we have Modern, we have Legacy, and basically those formats are all just different snapshots in time of like, you know, if we go so far back, we've got Pioneer. If we go a little further, we've got Modern. If we go even further, sure. We've got Legacy, etc. But Historic is kind of different in that it's kind of like that, but then it also goes and it grabs different cards from like the entire history of the game that extend beyond like pre-modern cards.
Okay.
So for example, like the anthologies, you know, can print Legacy staples, Legacy cards, I should say, not necessarily staples, but like Phyrexian sure. Tower, Captain Sisse are both parts of the Historic environment.
Okay.
So it's kind of interesting in that we are now crafting a format by addition rather than by subtraction. So whereas Modern is this format where we have grabbed this giant chunk of cards, and in order to kind of, create this metagame that functions well, we are deleting by banning cards from the format. This one is kind of like, we have problems that exist. What can we include to deal with those problems? Well, I tell sure. you what, Rest in Peace was probably included because of Kathis combo. Let's see if that can handle it. You know, Virulent Plague was probably included because of Field of the Dead. Massacre Worm is printed into standard because of Field of the Dead, and probably into historic for the same purpose. You know, there are ways that we can address those problems without banning or suspending cards. And I think we've got a lot of creativity, a lot of ways to do that by just putting them directly into this format and not affecting any other formats in the game.
Seems dope. I like it. I think that there will have to be some addition by subtraction if there are just absolutely miserable things like Teferi or Muxus, if Muxus is too bad. Like,
yeah,
there can be addition by subtraction certainly in these formats, but I like the ability to curate as well. So
yeah, so there is the suspended list. So the suspended list allows for those things to be kind of put on hold while we allow for while we bring in the solution cards, you know?
Sure.
Muxus might be worthy of a ban. I think if we get into the conversation of, like, is that card too powerful for the format, the results may not show that, like, Mono Red Goblins is, like, the supreme deck. However, just the experience of playing against the card Muxus is pretty miserable, and the fact that that card can single-handedly win on an open board against a deck that is effectively controlling the game, it's pretty stupid. It probably doesn't need to be a thing.
Yeah, probably unpleasant, I would think, to play against. But
so, all right. So here's what I'm gonna do. I'm just gonna go through the list. I'm gonna call to some of the all stars in each of these colors, just to kind of wet your whistle on the experience of historic. But I also want to draw attention to the cards that are not a part of historic, because, like I said, addition by subtraction, we don't need to ban these cards because they haven't been included in it to begin with.
So we're looking at Esper right now.
Actually, for our conversation, I've got all five colors.
Ah, okay, cool.
But my article, I just started with Esper.
All right, let's go.
Okay, so in white, there are a lot of the Enchantress decks, or Boggles decks, I should say, and Core Spirit Dancer was part of the anthology, so Core Spirit Dancer is a part of those decks, as well as All That Glitters is a big piece of that, right? The impression of the, what's the modern card that's one mana?
Ethereal Armor.
Yes, thank you, Ethereal Armor. Yeah, and All That Glitters is very, very strong.
Okay.
Sarah Ascendant, Soul Warden, Ajani's Primate, Soul Sisters, right?
Cool.
Pretty strong package there. Thalia, Guardian of Thraben, is very, one of my favorite cards of all time, also part of Historic.
One of my biggest dislikes, I don't know if I want to play this format.
Really? You don't like Thalia, huh?
Well, it's just very good against every deck I ever decide to play, so I hate it. It's a fair card. It's don't get me wrong. It's a totally reasonable card, but I dislike playing against Thalia.
Yeah, I make this point in my article too, but there are just, like, all of the hate bears are in Historic. So, like, Aven Mind Sensor is now added with Amonkhet.
Containment Priest,
thank you. Like, you name it, it's a part of this format. The only one that's not here is Leon and Arbiter, and it doesn't really matter because there really aren't fetch lands. But the concept of hate bears in Historic is kind of lackluster, because for one, like, Thalia doesn't do a whole lot because of the fact that, like, it's not modern, where people aren't going, like, Thoughtseize, Inquisition, Bolt, Fatal Push, all those one mana spells trying to chain a bunch of, you know,
sure,
tiny non-creatures. It's very, like, permanent focused, like, creature based format. And so Thalia is good as a 2/1 first strike, but not nearly as effective as in Modern, where she's taxing the burn and the counter spells.
Sure.
Timely Reinforcements, fantastic sideboard card, obviously. Absolutely. Linvala, Keeper of Silence. White Mass Removal, Settle the Wreckage and Wrath of God.
Yep.
But as good as it gets, right?
Shatter the Sky.
Shatter the Sky, I don't see why you'd play it if you have Wrath of God, but
You didn't before, that's why I immediately thought of it, but yes.
Shalai, Voice of Plenty.
Ooh.
Good guy right there.
I like the Shalai.
One of my favorites. Ranger of Eos.
I know this card, but I don't particularly like to play against it. So, okay. Yeah.
And then we've also got the Baneslayer Angel Lyra Dawnbringer package as, like, you know, sideboard material for the control decks, etc. There's more.
I'm interested in that.
There's more. I just wanted to kind of highlight a few of the, like, strongest inclusions in white. Now,
sure.
Conceptually, what this means is, I mean, there's clearly not enough information to know this, but with the experience of the format, white has a lot of kind of mid-rangey creatures. It's a lot of creature-based stuff going on. Removal, pretty weak. Pretty terrible in white.
Got a splash.
Yeah. So, Premier Removal in Modern, Path to Exile. Yeah.
Oh.
Same problem exists in Pioneer, though. What's your removal in Pioneer in white?
Teferi Time Raveler.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that still legal in Pioneer?
I think that got banned, didn't it?
I don't remember.
I'm
I'm
so
terrible at
confused.
this
I'm so confused at
podcast.
what's banned anymore, but I feel like let's listen back to our last week's podcast and decide
Yeah.
what.
Supreme Verdict, that's my answer. Azorius Charm. These are all, well, Supreme Verdict's fine, but the rest of these are going to be bad cards, so I'm going to
Yeah,
stop naming them.
so pinpointed removal, I guess the difference between like Path to Exile and like the next best thing is just so immense. There's not much between it.
It's your opponent gets a 4/4 angel.
Yeah. I mean, that one I didn't even put on my list. That one's pretty
Yeah,
terrible. But
that's how bad it is.
I
Like,
mean, Seal Away, right? Valorous
yeah.
Stance, Baffling End, Conclave Tribunal, Cast Out, Faith's Fetters. Like, we're getting to big mana here. Fortunately, though, white has good mass removal in Wrath of God and Settle the Wreckage. But if you're playing white, like it seems to, like the list of cards I just listed was a bunch of creatures. Like, you
Yeah,
probably
you're just
aren't
loading
interested
the
in that.
board up. You don't want to kill your board. That
Yeah.
seems bad.
I mean, Settle doesn't really care, but
Yeah,
anyways.
I mean,
So
that's
there you
fine.
have it. I think that the lack of path is a big deal. Adding path to the format, I don't think would necessarily be a bad thing, but I think that we've determined that this is like this modern-esque format that doesn't have that kind of removal.
Sure.
So there
So what do we got in black? I'll ask black. I'll drive black. What impress me? I got Thoughtseize. What else do I have?
Yeah, Thoughtseize, big deal, right? So Thoughtseize is new. Okay,
Yeah.
Cauldron. I'm sorry about my dog. I don't know what she's doing right now.
Barking. She's doggo. It's fine.
Cauldron Familiar. Okay,
Okay,
the
so we got
sacrifice
Witch's
decks still
Oven.
exist, right? Yep, Witch's
Yep,
Oven,
yep.
Cauldron Familiar. Stitcher Supplier, big enabler for graveyard stuff.
Sure.
Heartless Act, Eliminate and Cast Down our removal. I think black removal is significantly stronger. Heartless Act is
Yeah.
pretty much two mana kill something,
Yeah,
right?
these all sound very good.
Yeah. Two mana proactive plans are pretty weak in black though, because we have Kitesail Freebooter, which is not very good when you're not playing humans.
Okay.
And the Fenlurker guy gets played in the Devotion, which is the black 1/1 that
Exile a
makes an
card.
exile card. It's pretty weak.
Okay. Yeah, that seems pretty terrible.
Black mass removal is Bantu's Last Reckoning, Languish, and Ritual of Soot.
Okay. That first one's real rough. The second and third one are fine, though.
Yeah, Languish is functionally Wrath.
Yeah.
Murderous Rider, good card.
Yeah.
Phyrexian Obliterator, Mono Black Devotion is a deck. And then, Bolas's Citadel is a good top end for a lot
Grey
of.
Merchant's a card in that format, right?
Yep, Grey Merchant's a card. Yeah, so there
Ooh.
is a Mono Black Devotion deck.
I like it.
I maintain that the two drop slot is really tough for black, especially in that deck. They're playing those Fenlurkers. I'm really not a big fan of those guys. I think other people might disagree with me, but
Needs more Pack Rat.
I want something else. There's Pack Rat.
That's your two drop right there, boys. Let's go.
Like Pack Rat better? I suppose
Oh,
I could do
yeah.
that. I honestly think Dark Confidant won't be too much for this deck or for this format. However,
Especially
probably
since
not
you
in
have
that deck.
Phyrexian Arena. Isn't that a card in that format?
You do have Phyrexian Arena, yep.
Oh yeah, baby. Pack Rat's where it's at. Let's go.
Yeah. So black seems to have the tools it needs. I think Confidant wouldn't be too strong. I think Confidant would be on point for this format. Like, this is a powerful format. We've got Thalia, we've got Young Pyromancer. It seems like the cycle of two mana, two ones in each color, like, should be completed, maybe without Snapcaster Mage.
Nah, baby. Snap it up. Let's go. All right, blue. Take me to blue.
All right, blue, Pact of Negation.
Why do we have this magic card? That
This was added
seems.
in Amonkhet. However, there's no combo deck like Ad Nauseam that this protects, so it's
Okay.
fine.
Okay.
Curiosity, Curious Obsession, and the tempo. We got Swan Song, Search for Azcanta, Supreme Phantom Nebelgast Herald in Spirits, Thirst for Knowledge, Brazen Borrower, All Star, Mystical Dispute, Emery Lurker of the Lock, and Saya Master Thopterist and artifacts. Cure
Okay.
Great Glass Spinner protects your Merfolk.
Sure.
Stormwing Entity, if you want to do that stuff. That's a big
Yeah.
deck in Modern. Pull from Tomorrow was just added as card draw for control. Spell
Okay.
Pierce. And then Merfolk have just a lot of stuff. Marrow Reagery is a big deal for them.
Okay.
They're missing Lord of Atlantis.
Okay.
And, two drop Lord. They have the blue green two drop Lord, but it does not give Island Walk.
Yeah, it just seems like blue's a little scattered. I mean, it's mostly tempo, but
Yeah.
like, it seems a little scattered to me.
Yeah, I mean, that's just a list of some random things that are included. But there's a lot
Yeah.
of control in blue. There's You know, there's tempo. Tempo is a big deal.
Yeah.
And then there's like blue is just a piece of like
most decks.
Kethis decks in the Bantfield decks and stuff.
All right, give me some Mux, Daddy.
Red? You want red? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah. Is it all goblins? Is it everything goblins?
All right, we're jumping around, so now I gotta scroll. Okay, Alpine Moon, Grim Lavamancer is in this format. Do you know that? Soulscar Mage just joined the club, reprinted in the lightest. But we do not have Monastery Swift Spear, so only one half of the prowess team. Lightning Axe, a braid, new. Young Pyromancer, Dreadhorde Arcanist, Runaway Steamkin, Anger of the Gods, Light Up the Stage, Wizard's Lightning, Bone Crusher Giant, all of the goblins you could ever want. Goblin Chieftain, Cranko Mob Boss, Conspicuous Snook, Snoop, Moxus.
So we got goblins, and we got prowess. Yep. We got Hazoret.
Well, prowess isn't really a deck. I think we need Monastery Swift Spear before that can really happen. But burn in general is definitely a thing.
Okay, cool.
Hazoret the Fervent is new. Arclight Phoenix, Shatterstorm has been printed in the latest Almaket set. Storm's Wrath, Torbran, Oxyvagonis, there's no dredge thing yet. Chandra, Awakened Inferno, Embercleave, and then Finale of Promise is one to just always remember that it exists because there's always someone doing some kind of graveyard shenanigans with Arclight Phoenix, but it's not consistent enough.
Seems solid, all right. And so what's left? That's green.
Yeah, green.
Collected Company.
Yeah, Collected Company. Big fan. I don't know if you're familiar with the card.
I'm a fan.
But
I've played it a few times, but less than you.
Like Muxus, green is another one that can highlight some of the, you know, like kind of the extra modern experience that is in Historic. And like Allosaurus Shepherd is a real deal. And Allosaurus Shepherd is one of those cards from Jumpstart that is only available in Historic and bypasses Pioneer and Modern. That is the elf that says your creatures can't be countered, or maybe it's elves can't be countered. It doesn't matter.
No, it's green creature spells.
Thank you. There you go.
Green spells. Just green spells.
And then you can pay six and basically make your dudes into
five fives.
Yeah. So it five fives plus the Lord effects base yeah. five fives. So it is huge for elves. Big deal for them.
Yeah.
So that's a kind of the linchpin for the green elf decks. As is Elvish Clan, Caller, Elvish Archdruid, Dwinens Elite, Llanowar Elves, Imperius Perfect. You've got Gilded Goose, Pelt Collector, Scavenging Ooze, Fauna Shaman, Azusa. Okay, so this is my value taunt package. Azusa, Dryad of the Elysian Grove, Wayward Swordtooth, Oracle of Maldaya, and Ramanop Excavator. You've got all that stuff.
Yeah.
Ronus, cool. The Indomitable. Oh, you've also got Knight of the Reliquary too, but he's gold. Ronus the Indomitable, Leyline of Abundance, Collected Company, we already mentioned, Questing Beast, Scapeshift, Hour of Promises new, we didn't need that one, thank you, I hate it, Nissa Who Shakes the World, Thrag Tusk, Carnage Tyrant, I put Uvenwald Hydra on here, it's kind of like a budget prime time, it's probably not going to get much play, but it probably sees some play, Craterhoof Behemoth, Galta, and Finale of Devastation.
I feel like for budget prime times, Golos is probably just better.
Yeah, probably. So this one's just missing Tireless Tracker in my list because I want so badly to be playing that deck.
Okay. So I got lands and multicolor.
Yeah, well, an artifact, but, you know.
So nothing impressive?
Yeah, so lands, I'll just touch on the ones that are not like the gold lands. So lands
I know are Phyrexian missing... Tower, you said.
Lands, yeah, Phyrexian Tower, Blast Zone. We've got Unclaimed Territory and Ancient Ziggurat. So we've got access to, like, the Humans land package aside from Cavern of Souls.
Okay. That's interesting.
Field of Ruin, Ghost Quarter, Field of the Dead, obviously. Scavenger Grounds was added. We do have Lotus Field, but I don't think there's nearly enough Twiddle effects to make that possible. There is Thank Omniscience, God. Though. That isn't
not necessary. I don't think that's necessary.
Maze's End, and then we have the castles.
Okay, cool.
So I think Fabled Passage is important to note too, because without the fetches, you do need. There's some cards that want you to like load up your graveyard, and some cards that want to kind of cycle through, you know, cards in your graveyard like Ramanop Excavator, Crucible of Worlds type stuff.
Sure. Okay.
So, okay. Real quick, gold Meddling Mage. Drawn in the Lock, Thought Erasure, Dorat the Perfect Pet, Crackling Drake, Absorb, Teferi, Hero of Dominaria, 5-mana Teferi, that is. Sphinx's Revelation, General Kudrow of Draenith, but not enough humans. We're missing Champion of the Parish and Thalia's Lieutenant on that one. Lurrus of the Dream Den, Royal Scions, Kroxa, Assassin's Trophy, Fiend Artisan, Maelstrom Pulse, Vraska Golgari Queen, Gitrog Monster, Casualties of War, Clothis, God of Destiny, Knight of the Reliquary, Captain Sisse, Knight of Autumn, Mirari's Wake, Uro, Titan of Nature's Wrath, Hydroid Crisis, all three Nicol Bolas's, except for the original one, Kethis the Hidden Hand, Golos, and Niv-Mizzet Reborn.
A little something for everybody.
Yeah, a little something for everybody. And then last but not least, artifacts. We have, of course, we have Golos, right? Ornithopter is a big deal because there is an affinity deck with like Tempered Steel, which is really cool. Tormod's Crypt, Mox Amber for the free stuff. Grafdigger's Cage, big sideboard option. Can stop. Yeah. Muxus, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Ozolith. You got Ratchet Bomb, Sorcerer's Spyglass, Steel Overseer, Treasure Map. I love Treasure Map. Chromatic Lantern. There's a really cool mono black five color deck that uses Mastermind's Acquisition to get like any card out of your sideboard of any color.
Yeah, I know. I'm familiar with this idea. I've played it before.
Oh yeah, it's a blast. Karn the Great Creator, but no Tron lands, thank God. Mystic Forge, Solemn Simulacrum, Ugin the Ineffable, Ugin the Spirit Dragon, Ulamog the Ceaseless Hunger.
Solid.
Yeah. So there you have it. I know I'm just listing off cards at this point, but I think like it's just like there's so much stuff going on in this format that it's like it's hard to wrap your head around it until you just
you're trying to sell me on the fact that I could do anything I wanted within reason.
Yes.
You've done that. I believe you, and it actually does sound pretty cool. I wish I had the spare cash or time.
All right. Well, at the very least, we're going to talk about it on this podcast. I'm going to warn you because I'm passionate about it and because I'm going to be playing.
Love it.
So
send me notes if you want to talk about it ahead of time so I can read things and not look stupid.
All right. I know I sprung this one on you. I have put together the Goblins deck. I have put together the Tempo deck. I have put together Mardu Pyromancer or Rakdos Pyromancer, I should say. And all three are a blast to play. But there is hella Field of the Dead out there, and that gets very old, so
yeah,
hopefully that doesn't, you know, ruin it for me. But speaking of Bant, right, speaking of Bant, that's for you.
A transition, well played. I kind of fell asleep there because I have been having some long hours with the old familia. So I was actually watching a Legacy stream from 90s MTG it's their YouTube channel, and there was a guy on there, Phil Bleckman, his Twitter handle, @ForceOfPhil, be nice to people who give you ideas. He was playing a Bant control deck in Legacy that was functionally Miracles. So blue-white Miracles, splashing green for Life from the Loam, Uro, and Teferi, Master of Time. Using Teferi, Master of Time as an engine with Mystic Sanctuary. So Teferi, Master of Time is the new four-mana Teferi. I'll read it for everyone who doesn't remember. You can play the loyalty abilities anytime on any player's turn. You could play an instant. +1 is loot. -3 is target creature you don't control phases out. -10 is take two extra turns after this one. So the big synergy there is with Life from the Loam, you fill your handful of lands. You can loot them away with Teferi. You can dredge your Life from the Loam. But in combination with Mystic Sanctuary, it helps you set up Miracles. So between Terminus and Entreat the Angels, it gives you a clean way to dredge all this stuff into your graveyard, fetch your Mystic Sanctuary, put it on top, loot with Teferi, Master of Time to trigger the miracle on your opponent's turn at instant speed.
That's sweet.
And so he was doing it with Wastelands and Force of Wills and all the really crazy powerful cards. But I looked at it just as a shell, and I'm like, well, most of these cards are realistically modern legal. Can I do something with this shell?
Mm-hmm.
Can I backport it? And so I kind of put together a list that I just started. I played two games with before the podcast. I played against Tron, and I punted both of the games away myself instead of losing to the deck or losing to the bad Tron matchup. I punted away the first game where I had a Ghost Quarter lock, because I was just worried about my opponent top decking something And so I hard cast and entreat the angels from my hand for 4, for X equal 4, so for 11 mana. And they had no cards in hand, and they had like 3 tokens and an Ugin, a 6-mana Ugin. And they untapped and casted all his dust off the top of their deck, just like natural peel.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh, it always happens like that.
Yeah, it was unfortunate. Natural peel all his dust. Like, if they didn't, and I ghost quartered them down to having exactly 7 lands. So they like natural peeled all his dust, tapped all the way out, and casted it. And so had I not been too aggressive, I had 2 counter spells in my hand, I would have been able to counter and kill the Ugin and then use Cryptic with Uro and Mystic Sanctuary to like bounce the tokens and maintain control of the board.
Wait, they were playing Greentron?
Yeah, they were playing Greentron.
Well, I wouldn't have expected all his dust in Greentron, so I don't know.
Nope. Yeah, I got blowed. I got blowed out. I beat a blast up to that point. I countered a Karn. I beat a Thragtusk, a Blast Zone, a Worm Coil, and an Oblivion Stone. Jeez. So like, yeah, I was in the game. I just punted it away. And in the second game, I tapped out for no reason, and they slammed it again, and I died because I'm just dumb. And they mulliganed to like 3. So I got immensely punished. But I'll kind of go through the shell here, paralleling it to what was really happening in the Legacy shell. And then we can talk about, are there things I missed? Are there things I didn't miss? So he was playing 25 lands, which is the same number I have. I kept the one lonely sandbar. I'll talk through like the major things. Obviously, like Tropical Island and Tundra become Breeding Pool and Hollow Fountain. So a downgrade there. He was playing a Lonely Sandbar. I kept that as a cycling land. He was playing 4 Wastelands. I touched it back to 2. And I moved from Wasteland to Ghost Quarter. So you might ask me, why not Field of Ruin? And the reason is, if you run all of your Mystic Sanctuaries into play, you need to be able to Ghost Quarter yourself, play Loam, get back the Sanctuary in the Ghost Quarter, attack with Uro, put Sanctuary into play, put the Ghost Quarter into play for you as your land for turn, and always have access to continually Mystic Sanctuarying the top card of your deck. And then being able to like loot it with Teferi and discard the 3rd land you have to like draw the card that you Mystic Sanctuaried. So there is like a very convoluted reason for Ghost Quarters. He played 4 Wastelands, and I scaled it back, and I put in a Waterlogged Grove and a 3rd Mystic Sanctuary. I think 3 Mystic Sanctuary might be 1 too many, and so I need to go backwards to 2.
Waterlogged Grove, huh?
Yeah, I figured it would be nice to have another like cantrip.
Yeah, I suppose.
But I haven't really liked the damage I've taken from it over the course of games. Just like it feels really awkward to like take like 4 damage from your land and then like finding a place to cycle it. He was playing 4 swords. I played 4 path. I kept the miracles, 3 terminus and an entreat. The full 4 Teferi, he was playing 3. No Force of Will, so I played some various different counter spells that are modern appropriate. I played a pair of Cryptics, a pair of Archmage's Charms, and a pair of Mana Leaks. No Brainstorm and Ponder, so this is where the deck might feel like it kind of gets hamstrung, and I wasn't really sure how to fill those spots in. So I looked at Opt originally, but I then turned to Growth Spiral, and that was kind of where I ended up for the first couple games I played. I might go to Opt just to have a little more draw smoothing. I'm not sure which one I really want yet. Triple Loam, 3 Force of Negation. So I'll go through the whole list real quick now that I've talked through the differences, sort of main board.
Yeah, go ahead.
2 Breeding Pool, 4 Flooded Strand, 4 Misty Rainforest, 2 Hollowed Fountain, 2 Ghost Quarter, 3 Mystic Sanctuary, a single Waterlogged Grove, and 7 basic lands, 4 islands, or sorry, 6 basic lands, 3 islands, 2 forests, and a plains. I might cut the 3rd Mystic Sanctuary for a 4th island. They don't need to be snow-covered. I made them snow-covered for the bluffing purposes. Four Path and Oust, 2 Spell Snare, 2 Mana Leak, 3 Life from the Loam, 4 Growth Spiral, 3 Force of Negation, 2 Archmage's Charm, 4 Uro, 2 Cryptic, 4 Teferi Master of Time, 3 Terminus, and Entreat the Angels, and a single Lonely Sandbar. Rounds out the main board. And then the sideboard kind of focused on the Mystic Sanctuary package, but maybe I should step away from it a little bit and play less instants to try and recur them, because people will probably bring in Graveyard Hate. But I have a 3rd Ghost Quarter, a Ceremonious Rejection, 2 Veil of Summer, a surgical, a mystical dispute, three aether gusts, a weather of the storm, a celestial purge, a Dovin's veto, a wilt, which is just destroy target artifact and enchantment for one and a green with cycling, a timely reinforcements, and a supreme verdict.
Wilt is seeming to be pretty stock in modern these days.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if people really knew what it did, so I just figured I'd zoom through it.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, like no Caracas is kind of a thing that happens, but we don't really super need Caracas in modern, so it doesn't really feel like a loss.
Do they like Caracas Uro with the trigger on the stack?
That is a thing you can do. He didn't really do it. He was just like play Uro, escape Uro, and just like try and get the Uro engine going.
Mm-hmm.
But like with Wasteland, the Uro engine is a little more powerful because it's like you're not really giving them back lands. You're just like cutting them off.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of makes the Uros a little more powerful there. But yeah, the only thing I could really see making a huge change of in this first draft before I actually play some more games of it is like going from Growth Spiral to Opt or Growth Spiral to Serum Visions, one of the two.
It looks sweet. It has so much that it can do to like manipulate its engine.
Yeah.
I feel like, you get hit pretty bad by like Rest in Peace, though.
Yeah, you do. That's kind of the card I was like, well, that's why I opted for like the Spell Snares as my counterspell instead of like Spell Pierce or something like that.
Yeah.
To always have a heart out to Rest in Peace. And then I did include the Wilt, and I was thinking about including a second like Wilt type effect.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't sure.
You know, what does Bant Charm do? Doesn't Bant Charm counter
it destroys
instant...
an artifact.
Oh, it destroys an artifact. Oh, I was thinking it was enchantment.
Actually, it actually tucks an artifact, puts it on the bottom of their deck.
I thought it can tuck a creature, destroy an artifact.
Let me check it out. Bant Charm.
Charm.
I think it might be that set of things that you
just destroy artifact, tuck a creature, counter an instant.
Yeah, unfortunately not an enchantment. Otherwise might have considered it as a main board playable.
I mean, it's still a thing to think about in a Bant control deck, just like even as a one of. But it is a little costly and a little tight on the mana. I'm wondering if like Lorescale Codal is possible in here. I mean, I'm looking at the screenshot where you have three snow covered lands, but you also have like 8 lands total, so it's probably pretty hard to get your third.
Are you talking about Ice Fang Codal?
Yeah, Ice Fang Codal, sorry.
Yeah, I was about to say there's two noticeable modern exclusions here, which is Ice Fang Codal and Snapcaster Mage.
Yeah, we don't have Snapcaster, yeah.
No, zero Snapcasters. The Legacy version was playing 2 Snapcaster, but that kind of made sense because you had 8 1-mana cantrips.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't have that many 1-mana spells in this deck to be able to do that. So it's like you're not... Your Snapcaster is like 4 mana.
Sure.
And that's kind of tricky. And you do want to keep a lot of your stuff in your graveyard for Uro to like escape anyways. I added the 4th Uro. 4 might be too many. Might just need to play 3 Uro. I'm not actually sure about that. People who are smarter than me probably have like played with Uro a bunch and been like, oh, you only need 3. But I just was like maxing out on the cards that I thought like were the best part of the engine. You could like cut the Uro for a singleton trade route so that all your lands cycle.
Uh-huh.
And then like turns your Life in the Loam into like 3 cyclers where you can hold up your cryptics and your force negations and they do nothing and you just cycle your lands. And so like that's a thing. I might be able to cut the Lonely Sandbar and play like a couple trade routes and then like 3 opt and just like call it a day there. I don't know. Like these are all things I've been thinking about. You could potentially cut the Entreat the Angels and play a Time Warp and just like have that as your kill condition.
Yeah.
Just
you should play Aurelia's Influence as a one of.
I have not heard of this card, so I'm going to refuse
Ayula's Influence. That's what it's called.
Oh, the green make a bear?
Yes.
Unfortunately, you only have 4 green sources, so no.
Ah, oh, man, it's so good, though.
Bear Assault is not a thing I'm interested in. No, thank you.
Bear Assault. Oh, how cool would that be?
That would be really annoying. I haven't really figured out a good card for the like Jund matchups. Like maybe it's switch your mana base up a little bit, play Feel of the Dead to like beat Jund. So like maybe you can cut like an Uro and an Entreat and like shift the cards around a little bit and like include a 26th land for Field of the Dead and like get a couple trade routes in there and like be able to use trade routes to power Field of the Dead, like, and have this like super synergistic deck. I'm not sure though. Like, it felt like having an Entreat was just like this really powerful one of that could like blow your opponent out. But like, I don't know if that's really necessary.
I mean, it's fun, and Magic is about having fun.
Sure.
That's what I was when I'm deciding whether or not to include Entreat in my Miracles deck. That's what it comes down to.
I mean, I would like to optimize this thing, obviously. I think it's actually it is super fun, and like Teferi seems very powerful.
Yeah.
So I'd like to see if this has some wheels on it and where I can take it from there.
Yeah.
But like, and my big suggestion would be like, what do you think about like how would you change the sideboard? Because I literally just slapped a bunch of like Bant cards I know are good sideboard cards together and said, sideboard, here you go.
Yeah. Do me a favor and read through that sideboard one more time, just because I forgot the numbers.
Yeah. Wilt. A Ceremonious Rejection.
Yep. Just one.
Two Veil.
Okay.
Yeah, one. Two Veil, a Surgical, a Mystical Dispute, a Ghost Quarter, a Wilt, a Dovin's Veto, a Celestial Purge, a Weather the Storm, three Aether Gust, a Timely, and a Supreme Verdict.
So I might include, so I'd be tempted to do more stuff with the Life from the Loams. Like I might try like a Blast Zone.
I considered a Bajuka Bog instead of a Surgical, but I thought that Surgical might just be a tiny bit better against Tron, but maybe that might just be totally unnecessary. Maybe like three Ghost Quarter and Loam is enough.
Blast Zone? I know Blast Zone doesn't deal with the graveyard, but.
Yeah, I mean, Blast Zone seems like a very reasonable card that I had actually just forgot existed.
Is there something that you can sacrifice to deal with an opposing graveyard? Like, Scavenger Grounds would get your own, too, right?
No, that one's very bad. No, there's not a land that sacrifices to kill your opponent's graveyard. That's why I considered, like, a Bajuka Bog. And, like, you could do the Mystic Sanctuary looping with Ghost Quarter and Bajuka Bog.
Yeah, you could just blow up your own thing. Would be I'm never a big fan of Bajuka Bog, honestly. It's always so awkward when it comes
bad.
At the right time it's very good, but it's never the right time, you know. It's always like you play a Swamp tapped on turn one in your control deck and you're like trying to play Cryptic Command or Archmage's Charm. It's like, oh god, that fell off.
Not great. The Plains feels really bad because it's like I need this Plains, but man, you draw that thing with Archmage's Charm in your hand, you're just like Or Uro, even, you're just like, everything is horrible. Like, why did I do this to myself?
Okay, so this is getting really fancy, but there is a non-basic land that it produces a colorless. It does not come in play tapped. It costs 4 and a snow to activate, and you can sacrifice it to deal 4 damage to a creature.
Mouth of Ronom.
Yeah, Mouth of Ronom.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know. I've played a whole 2 games with this thing, so like it's 100% possible that like maybe we want some tricky lands like this.
Yeah.
I have no clue. I think Blast Zone is pretty safe. I think the rest of these are like very, very ambitious.
Yeah, Blast Zone seems like a shoe-in to me. Yeah. Something like Moth of Ronom, though, like that was always my secret tech in like when I was playing Modern Value Town, because Path to Exile is great removal, right? But in decks that are playing Path to Exile, like I said, like the difference between Path and the next best thing is like immense.
It's oust.
Yeah, and decks good. Usually don't like have the balls to play oust or whatever else there is. So to have something like that is strong. Now I would also be interested in trying like a transformative sideboard plan type thing where like maybe you go into like some creatures and like maybe you get like Knight of the Reliquary. You know what I mean? And like you start to do some like, all right, I'm no longer control that game too. And all of a sudden my opponent's got to like be prepared for a completely different onslaught.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's fair.
Just a thought.
I mean, if you're doing that, I think you're not playing stuff like Growth Spiral and Oust. And but like, I question like maybe you're cutting Teferis and Terminuses and you're just like transformative and hope that like transformative is good enough.
Yeah.
It seems a little suspect, but like it's totally a thing you could do.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just spitballing here. I haven't played it with the deck at all, but this is just magical Christmas land here. Like, I think it would be really cool to build this.
Your statement felt like very magical. Like, I'm getting all the things I wanted sort of deal.
Well, I guess the problem is this, like, assuming that you're going to be heavily targeted with Graveyard Hate, like, rest in peace. I would want to have some answer to that that is like, okay, I no longer rely on my graveyard, basically.
Yes.
So Knight of the Reliquary is not the answer for you there.
No.
But,
no, it's not.
But there's got to be something. Like, maybe there's a critter that you can just put in. Like, maybe it's just like Questing Beast or something. You know, that there's like a strong enough creature that you can just like ride to victory. That's like, I don't care about that. You know, go ahead, spend your time.
Shifting Ceratops, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, something along those lines, you know?
Yeah. Dream Trawler.
Yes, Dream Trawler is very good.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Yeah. Okay, so I'm looking at this screenshot you sent me. I have another question. You're sure. Playing against a mono green Tron deck.
Yeah.
Looks like your opponent had Companion Gigantha. What is Cascading Cataracts doing?
I assume they're playing Golos.
Oh, yes. Okay.
So if you play Golos, you fetch up Cataracts with your Tron lands. You can activate Golos and, like, free roll Karns and Worm Coils and stuff.
Gotcha. That makes sense. That's got to be it.
Yeah. It's the only thing I can think of.
Cascading Cataracts, for those who aren't familiar, because it's a very weird card, is indestructible, can tap for a colorless, and you can pay 5 and tap it to add 5 mana of any color combination to your mana pool.
So Tron lands plus Cataracts is an exact Golos activation.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
Yeah, it's made match made heaven. So you cast your Golos off your mine, your tower, you get your Cataracts, untap next turn, tap all your lands, activate Golos, flip the top 3, and hope to hit the Ugin lottery or the Ulabog lottery and just smoke your opponent with it.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, I assume you're going to keep grinding on this one.
Oh, yeah. No, this is definitely going to get some iterations. Like, the things that I'm most concerned about are, like, the counterspell and removal suite, like how, like what those should look like. If I should be playing that Oust, maybe I should fit a Snapcaster in. Growth Spiral versus Opt, and then just like the mana base. Like, the sideboard is like, it will come in time. I'll figure it out. But like, kind of getting the main deck where I want it is the big goal of what this thing is.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting to jump into Modern and see what things are looking like these days. It's very different. Blitz. These blue-red Blitz decks, Lava Dart, yeah. Soulscar Mage, and the Stormwing Entities are
Prowess decks, yeah. Prowess
well represented. Yeah, the Prowess, but they're blue-red Prowess now with Stormwing Entity.
Oh, that card's good.
I love that card. I'm happy to see that. Lots of Uro, lots of Gruul, Burn. I mean, it's pretty wide. Like, it's not surprising because we haven't had any, like, big tournament results aside from, like, the challenges on the weekends. Yeah. And there hasn't been like any coverage that has like really like solidified like, oh, Tron is back in a big way, baby. But it's just like we've had like a lot of these kind of like middling tournaments, like these challenges.
So like I look at that's why I looked at the Legacy version of this deck and said like maybe I can do this because like Legacy is one of those formats that like when you're playing like giant tournaments like Delver is going to be a thing and Show and Tell is going to be a thing. Like you just have to be prepared for like these decks that are going to be on top, right? Mm-hmm. But like in you know, wider open Legacy formats, something that's, this is like doing something reasonably grindy and powerful and can like kind of be very prisony where you like put Force Negation on top of your deck every turn and you're like, all right, spell opponent, beat this Force Negation.
Yeah.
Okay, beat this Force Negation again. Like, you just have to keep beating the same Force Negation and I'm attacking you with a 6/6 or I'm just like hanging out and always having Force Negation to beat your, like, whatever you're doing. And eventually I'll dredge my way into like an entreat or something and you'll just die.
yeah.
Like, it seems like this is like a reactive deck that can have this like very random proactive plan where, you know, Teferi just hangs out in play a couple turns and you're just like, all right, -10, Uro, Escape, Sanctuary, Entreat, Untap, Entreat, Attack you for 6, Untap, kill you. So,
yeah,
like,
man.
It feels like there's a powerful proactive plan that it can have, and then it's a pretty decent, like, it's got a lot of the blue-white control tools to be a pretty reactive deck.
Right. Yeah, man, it seems sweet. And it seems like you may have managed to build like the most expensive modern deck you could have possibly built.
Really? I have no clue. Thank you, Mana Traders. I have no clue.
Yeah, thank God for Mana Traders. But yeah, Force of Negation, Uro.
Hey, man, at least I'm not playing 4 Force. I'm only playing 3. You know? Like,
yes.
I showed a little self-control.
That card's out of control.
Speaking of control.
All right, well, that's a good place to close out today. I think maybe next week we'll kind of dig through modern again and just kind of see where we're at with that format. And it would probably be a good time to check in because we're probably going to be having spoilers coming out for a new set pretty soon. Believe it or not, we've got one right around the corner in September. Yeah, it's crazy. It's kind of rapid
fire. Wild world of magic.
Man. Yeah. All right. Well, take it easy.
Later.
Modern Metacall is a production of CarnockLife.com, where you can find a selection of MTG content, both written and recorded. Looking for deck primers? We've got them. Interested in videos? Try our CKL Play series, where we take the most interesting decks appearing in published results for a spin through MTGO leagues. We've got a team of talented writers specializing in a variety of formats and archetypes. To keep up with CarnockLife offerings, you can follow us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/CarnockLifePodcast. Thanks is due to ManaTraders.com, MTGCast.com, and TheDiscard.com for their support in making this possible, and thank you for listening, commenting, sharing, and reading Card Knock Life content.